This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 9th, episode 1120, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
I'm just, I just thought it would be fair now, Glenn, to turn in my notice. I can't do it again. I can't get up this early. This sucks. So the rest of the world, or the rest of the country, does a time change, and Arizona opts to not time change. So at some point,
Year, why is there half of Arizona that has elected not to change their time?
Yeah, it's the whole Arizona, and it's because, I guess, when you get up early to work in the heat, you'd get up even early, like, you would be more in the heat getting up that same time. I don't know. It's stupid. Trust me. I hate it. And so I spend 9 months a year having to get up, or maybe 8 months. It's about 8 and 4 months. 8 months of the year, I have to get up at 4:45. And those blessed, awesome winter 4 months, I get to sleep till 5:45. I really miss living on the East Coast.
I was surprised you were up this morning, actually. I really was.
Well, you panicked me. You posted on my Facebook. You texted me. You called me yesterday. Don't forget to set your alarm. I mean, how was I going to miss it? And now when I call my mama at night, I have to call her earlier in the afternoon because it's a three-hour time difference, and that woman's in bed. So now I'm screwed.
You know, I did. Well, you have to admit, though, there was. Remember the 1 year you did forget and you didn't show up for the show? Remember that? You do remember that, right? That's how this all started.
No, I don't remember that at all.
I think it was like the first year.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I quit every year about this time, too. So.
Yeah, you do. Oh, by the way, the listeners don't seem to want to let you quit. So I think that's out.
I know,
I'm a little out of sorts today, too. I don't think I have everything ready for the show, and it really does kind of mess you up a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you're messed up. Nothing changed for me. Just getting up earlier sucks. Well, at least the horse people around the country are very happy, because this is the time of year when you go to the barn and you can still see your horse, because I remember those days of getting off and being at the barn at 5:30 and you just missed
it's
sunshine.
Dark. Yes.
It's dark.
Although I did walk the dog in the dark this morning because it was still dark till about 7:45. So I did walk the dog in the dark this morning.
Yeah, that still happens.
Yeah.
It stays dark longer in the morning.
Yeah, fun. And you know what, though? I did notice it's starting to warm up in the north, so they're going to go from snow season to mud season in Lexington here very shortly.
Ah, love that. Oh, my gosh, they got more snow since we've talked. Poor guys. I follow Charles on Facebook, and Charles is, of course, the broodmare manager at Lane's End, where Zenyatta lives. Oh, my gosh, I got a dog and cat fight under me. You go away. You go away.
They're up earlier, too.
Yeah. And anyway, I followed him, and they had, 12 feet of snow outside the barns, and they had to clean the stalls and getting the horses in and out. Can you imagine what a nightmare that would be? Oh, I'm glad I don't do that job anymore. Yeah.
I don't miss the snow. I really don't. But they're not going to have to worry about that. Spring is here. It's going to warm up, and it's going to be beautiful for everyone.
No. Stay winter forever. I live in Phoenix. Summer sucks.
Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Edition, Glenn and Jamie do a recap of their various weekend adventures, and then we'll track down Sebastian Langton, who's going to tell us about a clever little device called a pod track, and then galloping downhill towards the finish, the wacky world of Horse Nation, leaning desperately on the bit, one misstep from a dramatic crash, hits the laugh button. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. We have some daily whinnies this morning. Actually, I have a daily whinny from a listener. Uta asked me to give a daily whinny to her friend, her wonderful friend, Pam Bollinger. She is currently in Arizona, escaping the cold Ohio winter, and it is her birthday. So happy birthday from Uta and us.
Well, there is, you guys know that I love horse racing, and there is nothing that could follow the ridiculous win over the weekend by Shared Belief, winning the $1 million big cap at Santa Anita. Let's take a listen.
The 78th running of the Santa Anita Handicap, Trevor Denman with the call.
Away they go, and Shared Belief broke beautifully. Along the inside, Diamond Bachelor sets off for the lead. Up alongside now comes Senor Kiskiano, who now goes on to lead them. Marino joins them in the center of the track. Catcher Flights on the grandstand side. Shared Belief is tucked in beautifully right behind the leaders in the black cap. Bronzo's on the outside. Crimson Giant is close today, only three lengths off them. Then Cool Samurai, and behind that, Dynamic Sky. Hard Aces at the back of the leading group has only given them five length start. They bunched up here. Patriotic and Proud has dropped back to be third last. In behind that, You Know I Know, and Imperative is last, 11 off the lead. So they set off to the three-quarter pole in the big cap. Marino on the far side and Senor Kiskiano along the inside. They're just setting a steady pace, not flying. Behind that, Catcher Flight. Crimson Giant is right there in the firing line. Diamond Bachelor at the rail. Now, here's Shared Belief in the sixth spot. Black cap of Shared Belief. Only three lengths off the leaders and just loping along. In behind that comes Cool Samurai. In behind Cool Samurai now we have Bronzo, who's dropped five off the leaders, Patriotic and Proud, You Know I Know, Dynamic Sky and Imperative is last. Into the turn they go, and Marino's now sent along. Let's see, Shared Belief now starts to get closer in the black cap. He's moved up fourth and coming after them. Marino is hard-ridden. Senor Kiskiano along the inside. Shared Belief has taken the second spot, and let's see, Mike Smith's just sitting on him. And Shared Belief now comes on to take on Marino. Marino's running his heart out, but Shared Belief strikes the front in the big cap. On the inside, Catcher Flight tries to make a race of it. An eighth of a mile to go, and Shared Belief. Mike Smith never even thought about going to the stick. They cantering home. This is absolute poetry in motion. Ears cocked, he could go round again, could Shared Belief.
Oh, well, he just won it easily. Just so easy. And let me give you a couple things about this weekend. It was the 75th anniversary of Seabiscuit's victory in 1940 in the same exact race. That's the history of Santa Anita. Actually, at Santa Anita, they had, made me choke up a little bit. They adorned Seabiscuit with the flowers that you win when you get win the handicap. So it was a beautiful thing, beautiful victory. Now, some of you may notice that one particular jockey was on Shared Belief and is on Shared Belief.
I got to admit, I'm kind of surprised we're covering this story this morning because of this. I have to admit.
Shared Belief has won 9 out of 10 outings. I got to see him run at the Breeders' Cup Classic this past fall. And, of course, he got mugged coming out of the gate. He got hit. And, he made an epic comeback to even get fourth. That's the only time he's ever lost. And he's an amazing horse. And he's absolutely incredible. And I know Mike Smith was on him, but I was reading about the race. Okay. Okay, this is a big moment for me. I've got to give some props to Mike Smith. This is his quote after the race. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Quote,
I'm surprised, but I'm ready.
Well, he's surprised too. He said, "He surprises me every time," Smith said after the race. "I have to pinch myself that I get to be his pilot." Here we go. It's Zenyatta, Holy Bull, and then Shared Belief for me. So he still ranks the Queen as his number one horse. Shared Belief falls in third, and Holy Bull was just holy cow. It was just amazing. So the fact that he's piloted those three horses is ridiculous. But the fact that he still ranks Zenyatta number one, I got to give it to him because she is the best that he's ever rode. And he remembers that. So
and to remind everybody why Jamie has this thing about Mike Smith is because he lost the last race with Zenyatta that she ever rode. So that's
he lost
why.
Because he didn't move up on time. My God, who does he think she is, Superwoman? It's ridiculous that he did not go to give her a little cluck. A little
and this
early,
happens
like,
every time. It's been 4 years, and this happens every time.
I mean, really, coming out of the turn, you
are
expect her to run out of the
course,
and you're totally dead last.
Just talked yourself right out of that, didn't you? No forgiving Mike Smith anymore.
My face gets hot talking about that. Why'd you bring it up? You don't have to bring it up every time. I was trying to give him some credit.
Almost. Ooh. You were that close.
I'm so close. It was so close to getting past it. Anyway,
I had him booked
belief.
For an interview, too, and I had to cancel him.
Oh, my God. That makes me so mad still. I felt like my face is hot. Okay. Anyway,
it was amazing.
Belief.
I have to say, I watched the race, and this horse didn't need any encouragement. There was Mike did not even get the whip out. He was just gone. I mean, just blew him away.
He actually said that he was, because Santa Anita has one of those giant big screens in the infield,
yeah.
Jumbotrons, and he's like, he said that he was actually watching himself on the Jumbotron as they were galloping by. He said, "I was watching the TV from the quarter pole to the wire. I feel bad to say this, but I was trying not to win by so far. As they say, don't squeeze a lemon if you don't have to."
Yeah, if he'd put the crop on, he'd have been good. I mean, he'd have just, the rest of the field would have just given up.
Yeah. They just stopped. Where'd that guy go? Anyway, whew, I was trying to get past the Mike Smith thing, then you had to bring it up. Anyway, just to give you guys, going back to the three-year-old, obviously Shared Belief is an older horse and a gelding, so he is not going to, you're not going to see his kids coming out of it. But again, great geldings wouldn't be great if they weren't gelded. So, you know, can't shoulda, coulda. But we've got a couple horses that won over the weekend, and Dortmund goes wire to wire in the $400,000 San Philippe. So that's the son of Big Brown, and he is actually going to be in the Derby now. Remember that name, Dortmund. I mean, it was a fantastic win. Carpe Diem won over the weekend. El Kabir is one that we're going to watch out for. He's going to go to the Wood Memorial, the $1 million Wood Memorial. A horse named American Pharoah is coming off a win, and a horse named Upstart comes off of a second place trip, I think, and is going to be racing at the end of the month. So those are some names. I just want to start dropping these names of these horses because I don't know about Texas Red. You know, we had their owners on, and I don't know if he's going to make it to the I think
any
the
updates
abscesses.
On that?
No, well, I from everything I read is like he's out. But she didn't confirm that, so I don't know. You know, these track riders, they like to get dramatic every once in a while, and so who knows? So I as soon as I know something, I will let you guys know. But it's just his name's not anywhere anymore.
Mm. Well, that's not good. That's not good. We had him picked. He was our one. Oh well. We can't have a Mucho Macho Man every year.
I know, but right? We should sure wish we could. That'd be cool. She was such a lovely owner. Anyway, so there you go. That was it. Now, Glenn, you need to tell me about what you're doing at Live Oak. You need to share with everybody this exciting news.
You're
going to be a professional broadcaster.
I know. It's something else. I haven't been doing that for a long time. So, the USCF and Chester Weber himself asked Wendy and I to do the narration of the live feed coverage for the USCF of Marathon Day at Live Oak. Now, Live Oak is one of the biggest shows in the – it is the biggest driving event in the country. There's no question about that. It's the largest one we have every year, and the top drivers from all over the country and some from international come in for Live Oak. It'll be on the 21st, and it'll be on the USEF Network, which it's free. It's USEF Network's free, right? I think it is.
I don't know.
Jennifer can check on that. I believe it is. I believe it's the FEI that charges, but the USEF Network, I believe, is free. So you can watch that. Wendy and Dr. Wendy and I will be narrating that and in our home usual way. So it should be a lot of fun. And
No, not narrating. She is going to be the play-by-play, and
yeah,
you're going to be the color guy.
I'm color.
You're
I'm going to be saying,
guy.
What a pretty horse. And then Wendy's actually going to be telling you what's happening. See, that's what's Yeah. So it should be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it, and that's coming up on the 21st. I think it starts like at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'll have more details next week as we learn them. They don't have the total numbers of drivers in the queue yet. That'll all happen this week. So we'll get more details. And we have some friends. We actually have some listeners coming in that are going to be staying with Jennifer and I, and they're going to the show. So it's going to be fun to have them. And I think Dr. Wendy's sleeping on the couch. So we're going to have a house full that weekend. It should be a lot of fun. And we'll let you know more details so you can join Wendy and I. If you've never seen Marathon with four in hands and large horse rigs going through these unbelievable obstacles at Live Oak, you're going to want to do it because they have some really cool ones. And it's just something to watch. It really is fun to watch. And
you better come up with something besides horse rigs. Is that what they call them? Didn't sound very
professional. Well, they do call them rigs, actually. They do call them rigs, especially if there's more than one horse.
Like when people say horse riding, it's horseback riding. My stepdad does it. He's like, you've been horse riding? I'm like, cringe.
Well, speaking of horse riding, I posted a picture over the weekend. You went to a show. I didn't even know you were going to a show. I haven't talked to you in a while, so I didn't even know you were going to a show.
Yes, I went to a little jumper show, and it was a place that Edward has been three or four times, and so I was hoping that he was going to be nice and calm, because Edward has what I like to call performance anxiety. He gets somewhere, and he really gets nervous, and he really got nervous at this show. I had him in the stall, and, you know, he just, like, trembles. He just shakes, and he stall walks, and he gets very, very nervous. So I just thought, okay, maybe he doesn't want to show. Maybe I'm asking this horse to do a job that he doesn't want to have. But I'm like, what is he going to do? I mean, he's got to do something. I was really frustrated. And I took him out. And, you know, he, like, to demonstrate his anxiety, when you're riding him, he paws and he kicks. And so he pawed and kicked. But you know what? After, like, 10 minutes, maybe my horse is getting smarter. He had his anxiety fit for 10 minutes as opposed to, like, when we went to Galway and he was anxiety ridden the entire 3 hours I rode him. So this is actually an improvement. So 10 minutes, and then we went and I did the 2-9 jumpers, and then three-foot jumpers. And two of the classes are in the arena, and then one of the classes is the Derby, which you do your maybe like an abbreviated 3-foot jumper ride, and then you gallop straight out, you go down a down bank, and you go and do your cross country course. And it's all together, all timed. So I thought that would be so fun. I've never done something like that. So our first 3-foot jumper class, he was still a little nervous. And there was one jump that was really, it was like a light gray faux brick wall with rainbow colored poles in an oxer form over it. Yeah, he was not going near that thing. And you had to gallop by the in gate and, like, turn away from the in gate and continue away from the in gate to jump this thing. And he, like, I don't know, 10, 20 yards out was like, and he locked on the brakes. So being that it's a schooling event, I took him up and let him sniff it and pet him and tell him it's okay. Turn around, canter up to, nope. Third time, I'm like, come on, stick. Somebody hands me a stick. I whack him on the shoulder, and he jumps it. And then he didn't look at anything else, but he didn't jump great. And so, obviously, we came in last in that class, but last still got us a ribbon. So that's all that matters. Nobody knows that I got fifth out of five. you know. So,
no, you never. That's true. It's nice thing about those small shows is you don't have to tell anybody.
You don't have to tell anybody. Yeah, it's just a small thing. And then the next jumper class, we went in and we went around and he jumped that fence fine. But and we went clean, so I got to the jump off. But you know, I don't need to gallop him around. So we ended up moving up a place, and we got third out of four. I thought, well, this is awesome. We moved up. I didn't come in last because, if you guys know, every single time I've done anything with this horse, I come in last. So it was nice to not come
in last. I can't even play that girl music because, really, you weren't.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was in the first round. But, you know, though, a lot of people were having trouble with that jump. And so the third, the Derby, Edward doesn't like to hit fences. So we went around and did our show jumping part. And, my gosh, jumpers are hard. Let me tell you why. You have to learn the course, and before you even leave the ring, you have to do a jump-off course that you may or may not qualify for.
Right.
That's stressful. Are you kidding me? Like, wait, I have to learn two courses, and I can't walk any of them. You know, I'm so spoiled with the Ventingita Walker course. And so you have to learn these two. And so she's like, okay, you made the jump-off. Go ahead and go. And I was like, where do I go? Oh, which one? Hold on. Give me a second. And I'm like, you know, breathing hard because I'm out of shape. And I'm like, 1, 6, 4. I'm like, huh. Okay. And so we went and we did the third Derby class. I had already walked my cross-country course earlier. So we did the first five. I trotted down the down bank to get him out to the course. And I didn't really race. I just took my time and let him look at stuff. And for the first time ever, we went clear on cross country. He did not stop one time. We went completely clear. Our first ever. I need the applause. Woo-hoo! Right now. The first ever clear cross country round on Edward. Yay! Thank you. And
good
as
job.
I'm riding, yeah,
you just
thank
need to
you.
Take him in. Now you know when you go to an event, you need to do two complete jumper rounds before you do cross country.
Yeah, that'd be nice if they would let me, because the first one always sucked, so I might as well try a second time. Like, can I do one that doesn't count first? That'd be great. But
can I borrow your arena for a minute?
Yeah, as I'm riding back to the trailer to get in untacked, she, the woman in charge, her name is Alice Sarno, and she yells at me, and she's like, hey, you won that one. And I was like, what? You know, I'm such a girl. Like, we want the blue ribbon. I don't envision ever getting it, but I actually won it that time. And apparently, I was the only person who went clear in the Derby round to the show jumping to the cross country. So I was super proud of my pony. It was fantastic. Be fun.
Good job. Yeah. Good job. Good job, you and Edward. Edward might be getting a brain cell. That's
maybe.
Exciting.
He's a little crazy thing. I love him, though. He's really pretty.
Hey, speaking of brain cells, you have another horse that we need to get a quick update on before we start into, because the listeners wouldn't forgive me, before we start into the guests, and we have several of those coming up. So, but you know, before you do a Thor update, I thought Thor needed update music. And
oh, no.
I was looking around today, and I just, you know, I'm going to give you samples of different things and see what you like, okay? So this is just the first one I found, and we'll see if you like this one.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of thunder, mighty Thor.
It's sort of like a My Little Pony version of the Mighty Thor. So what do you think? Do you think that's a good one?
That was good. I couldn't understand what they were singing about, but I did get that the last one was the Mighty Thor. So I like that. Ooh, that could be a
show name
right there.
Can you actually see the video that goes with it? It looks a little bit like My Little Pony meets Thor. It's kind of got that vibe to it. And as Jennifer heard it earlier, she was like, well, the Rainbow Bridge means that you're dying. And you're
yeah, that's
I
true.
I said, in this case,
true.
It doesn't. This was actually taken from a Thor 1966 Thor comic thing that they did. So this was 1966. But anyway, I just thought it was funny. But we don't have to keep that one. I'll keep looking.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought you said you had a couple choices, or is
well, that was
like
all,
an evolving
choice. I don't have the rest yet because I was really trying to find some intelligent things that Hemsworth said as Thor. Out of the movies, you know, sound
Watch
clips that I could put together to make into a Thor, you know, kind of update theme song. But pretty much he just grunts. And the things he does says makes no sense. So I really haven't been able to put that together yet.
Glenn, your wife and I would appreciate it if you would put together a collage of him grunting. We would actually really like that.
It's going to be the Thor up. It might fit your Thor, too, for that matter.
Uh-huh. It sounds perfect. Actually, remember how my face got red when I talked about Mike Smith? My face is red for a different reason right now.
All right, I'll put some sound. I'll put a new Thor update together for Wednesday, and we'll see if you like that one better than the Rainbow Bridge.
I think that audio sounded really like, I think that audio just created his show name, The Mighty Thor. I don't know why I never thought of it.
Oh, that's perfect.
Right?
The Mighty Thor. I love that. That's great.
Okay. Yeah. Now you just gave me a show name. Congratulations. So Thor is doing great. I've been having a really hard time finding a bit that he needs. I talked to Alisa Wallace. She's like, you got to get a Mylar. I went online. I bought a Mylar. It's being shipped in. Don't tell Chad. Those things are freaking expensive.
$200. You bought a $200 bit that might work.
It might. Nobody in my neighborhood has any to try, and I was very particular about the one I wanted.
Yeah, because nobody buys the $200 bit unless they're sure they're going to work. See that?
It wasn't $200, and I got it used online. Do you know there's a Facebook page called like Mylar Bits Only? Yeah.
Really?
Look, that.
Only you would find that.
Mylar Bits Only. So I put that I was
looking
for it. I'm telling you. I posted that I was looking for one and all these people. So anyway, I bought one online and I got a good deal on it. And at least if it doesn't work, I can resell it online. In the meantime, I actually went onto another website and found another bit. And I figured I could use that one for somebody else if it doesn't work for Thor. At any rate, I bought a couple bits. And because he really, as you guys have seen in the video, he hates mouth pressure. He gapes and all this. And, you know, he's a Mustang. So I started thinking, you know, I asked him if his teeth had ever been done. And they said, no, we only do their teeth if they lose weight. So I was like, well, that doesn't sound healthy. So he was really patient with me. And I was able to look in his mouth. Oh, my gosh, he has the biggest wolf teeth I've ever seen. I can't believe I was able to look in there at that back teeth, but his wolf teeth are in and angry. And so I've actually set a veterinary appointment for Wednesday morning. I told her, I said, I need some teeth done. I called texted my vet. And I said, I need some teeth done and be prepared to pull wolf teeth. She's like, okay, I'll see you Wednesday. I didn't tell her that she needed to be prepared to pull wolf teeth of a Mustang.
Did you tell her to bring lots of tranquilizer? You didn't tell her that, did you?
They actually, the vet in Carson City told me that I would, he goes, I double it. Whatever you use on a regular horse, just double the sedation. I was like, really? But I remember
he'll be laying on the ground
vet.
And she'll be trying to do his teeth.
I know. Well, it'd probably be easier. But the vet, when I was a vet tech, we hated floating Mustang teeth. But I'm not the vet tech anymore.
So
I don't have to
tell
hold
her that it was a Mustang. You didn't even give her a heads up.
No, I didn't. She has all the stuff she needs. I know what's in her truck. This is the bet I've worked for.
She's never coming back. She's going to show up. She's going to see it's a Mustang. She's going to leave and say, oh, sorry, Jamie, you're fired.
Oh, my farrier already told me. She's like, I'm not coming to your house until you can easily pick up and bang on the feet. I was like, but I need you. She's like, nope, I ain't coming back. So he needed to be trimmed as well. So we're working on that. But anyway, I decided to just do some groundwork with him yesterday. And he wore a tarp. He walked over a tarp. And then I did this little lunging exercise with him over a little cross rail. And so he did that several times. He needs some more work on it. But, I tried him over jumps just to see how he was, you know, for fun, trotted him up to some cross rails in the past. And he gets a little, you know, rightfully so, nervous. So I did my little groundwork
exercise
with him.
Too bad we couldn't get you into watch Road to the Horse. I think actually with this project, you'd get a lot out of it. The different things they do to train them, I think you'd get a lot out of it.
I would like to go. I
didn't know you were getting his Mustang so soon. You know, I didn't know.
Well, it was your fault. So, but anyway, Thor is great, and I love him very much. And he's getting his teeth pulled and fixed on Wednesday. Don't tell Chad how much that cost either. This is my cheap horse.
Well, why don't you talk about Omega Alpha, because there's one of those products with Omega Alpha that you might be using on Thor, actually.
I know. Actually, I'm going to have – she does a – she's also an acupuncturist, so I'm going to have her check his ulcer points and see if he's got any sort of tummy ache or anything like that, because he's had a pretty stressful life, and all horses are susceptible to ulcers. And no one is more susceptible to ulcers than a horse that you take to a horse show that freaks out the entire time. So I actually do this for Edward even before we get on the trailer at this point, is I use Gastra FX. I give him like 30 to 40 cc's in one of those syringes, and you just put it down his throat, or you can actually put it in the food too. He's a really picky thoroughbred. If you have a horse that just eats like crazy, you'll have no problem. But you put it in their feed or you put it down their throat, and it's just a nice buffer for their stomach. And if you team that up with Biotic 8, those two products together, I mean, it really, really helps keep their stomach from getting acidic and to cause those ulcers. And I've had really good success with it. Also, as stressed out as Edward is and has been, I've used the Gastra FX the whole time, and he does not have ulcers. His ulcer points, acupuncture wise, are very clean, unreactive, unresponsive. So that is something that I really recommend, the Gastra FX and the Biotic 8, those two things together. The Biotic 8, of course, is what we use to put the probiotics, good and healthy probiotics into their gut. So you can find it at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. We love their products. We love everything. And all of it is non-testable. Nothing tests. Everything is totally legal. It's all natural supplements made by Dr. Chang and his team in Canada. So check it out, OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Very good. Thank you, Jamie. Well, while we were at the trade show last week, the Global Pet Expo, we had a great time, and I think you would have had a fun time there too. But we did the show with Wendy on Friday, and we had somebody scheduled, but he got really busy because his booth was just mobbed, and they did a lot of business. Either that, or he is Australian, and he could have been hungover. I'm not sure which, but I wanted to have him back because he was supposed to do a test for me of a product. And we're going to talk about his product because I think it might be good for horse people, too. And it was very popular at the trade show. We have Sebastian here from PodTrackers.com. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you doing?
All right. So which was it? Were you hungover or were you just busy on Friday?
It was honestly a bit of both, but we were extremely busy on Friday.
Well, you are Australian. You're in the United States, in Orlando. I counted on a little bit of hungover, too.
Yeah, there was a little bit of hungover, but unfortunately, it was just we were slammed on the stand. I actually ended up in a bit of an investment discussion, which I hope you can appreciate isn't easy to break out of.
Yes, I got it.
But look, I'm extremely sorry for missing the interview. I was looking forward to having a discussion with you, and here we are today, so that's fantastic.
Well, I'm glad you could join us this morning. So, Sebastian, now, you know, there were a lot of electronic products for pets that are starting to come into market, GPS trackers and all kinds of electronic things. We talked about Friday. There was this bizarre one, Jamie, that actually puts this box on the wall, is tied into an app on your smartphone, and the box would administer treats. You tell your smartphone, give my dog a treat. And there's screens so you can see each other. So when your dog comes up, you can say hi to your doggie and then give him a treat from your phone.
Oh.
I mean, there's really some bizarre stuff. But the pod trackers thing, you know, of all the GPS trackers that we saw, I thought this one looked most promising because of its size. So tell us what it is.
Well, Glenn, it's the smallest and lightest GPS tracker in the world. As you saw from the show, it's extremely well designed. It's very attractive. It's a barrel design. It's wonderfully comfortable on the animal because of the shape, and it looks great. And not only that, it's extremely durable. It gives great features for the user, like instant location on demand. You get to set up perimeter zones and get escape alerts if your animal runs away. You get all the benefits of activity tracking, like having a Fitbit on your dog. And you can also monitor the adventures that you've had with your pet over the lifetime of your animal, which is, I think, a nice little feature that we've added.
Now, you designed this for dogs, and we had a discussion when I talked to you the other day about the nice part about this is that it fits on any collar. You could put it on a halter, too, a horse halter. You know, it fits on your dog's collar, and the way it hooks on is, you know, is easy to do, so it would fit anywhere, really. And, you know, we had the discussion about how strong it was. Now, I stood on it, and it's only about, about an inch long? It's about the size of a little bit of an overgrown chapstick, maybe, you know, something like that. Not very big, but very sturdy. And I stood on it, and it didn't budge. And that's 200 pounds of pressure. But you were going to do an additional test to see if it would be horse-worthy. Did you ever get to do that test?
No, of course I did, yeah. We decided it would be quite fun. We've hired one of these big GMC Yukon XLs here. We don't get trucks like this in Australia, but it's wonderful to see these things so massive. This is a vehicle that weighs about 5,500 pounds, and we thought it would be funny just to drive over it and see what would happen. We're going to shortly edit the video and pop it up on social media, but I'm pleased to say that we drove over the pod with the vehicle, and it worked. We can still track it. We were still locating it. In fact, we didn't just stop there. We ended up trying our hardest to destroy the thing. So we started throwing it in the pool, tracking it on the bottom of the pool. then we decided to sort of throw it on the floor as many times as we could. One of us even tried it open.
This
Sorry?
Is when the Australian drinking comes in, okay?
Yeah,
this is
right.
When they started drinking.
Yeah, it was. It was a little bit. Yeah, we even pried the thing open, poured a beer into it, did a shot out of it, and then threw it back in the pool. Bearing in mind, this thing's open now, and it's had beer inside it, and the lights still were coming on. So it was a bit like the Terminator. We just couldn't kill the damn thing.
That's funny. Well, Sebastian, I'm glad to see that, because one of the things we were concerned about, Jamie, is we knew it was tough for dogs. You know, if a dog bit it, if I stood on it, then 200 pounds of pressure. But horses have much bigger bites. So, you know, we were afraid, like, if a horse bit on it on somebody's halter, would it break? And, you know, if you can run over it with a truck, it's probably not going to break with the horse bites on it. So how far will it track? Like, if I had it attached to my dog and my dog decides to leave town, how far will it track?
Well, how far are you going? I mean, I can track my cats here in America and there in Australia. There is no real range to this thing. It is a global device.
Because it's tied to GPS satellite, right? So they can go anywhere.
That's right. So it uses a combination between GPS and cell networks around the world. So what happens is when you want to locate your animal, you send the device a message through the app or website. The device then receives that message, gets its GPS location, and then broadcasts that back to you. And that all happens fairly instantaneously. So what you end up with is that peace of mind and reassurance that whenever you're worried about where your pet is, you can simply press the button and find them. You know, we've had several discussions with people in the military who want to just know what their pets are up to while they're on deployment. It's a nice way for them to feel like they're at home whilst overseas and you know, serving their country, which I think is a fantastic idea and fantastic use for it.
You know, Jamie, do you remember last year? I think it was last year, actually. We had an endurance horse. Endurance is long-distance riding. They'll ride 100 miles in one day, but a lot of it's through forests and woods and things like that and over mountains. And they... this girl fell off her horse and the horse took off, and it's a huge forest here in Florida. They never found the horse. I mean, the horse just disappeared, and they searched for days and never found the horse. So I was thinking, for a situation like that, this would be perfect, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what the device was designed for. I mean, my story and the reason why I'd created the device was primarily to do with the fact that my cat went missing, but you know, it doesn't really matter what the animal is. it's something you love, and it's something that you want back. And we're here to try and help ensure that that happens. It's just another safety net for you and the things you love, the things that you want to keep safe. And that's why it's been designed. And that's why on every single unit, there is the words Farango engraved into the back of the strap, because it means something to us. It's not just my Rango, it's everybody's Rango. It's everybody's cat or dog or horse or anything that ever went missing that they didn't want to lose.
I never pictured you as a cat guy, though, Sebastian, I got to say. I was picturing
you. Yeah.
I'm gonna put it on my son, because sometimes he opens the front door and walks outside, and
yeah.
I need this.
Braid it into his hair.
Look, it's unbelievable the people we've sold this device to is quite incredible. I mean, you know, we've sold it to people looking to keep a closer eye on their autistic children. We've sold it to, cat lovers, dog lovers. We've sold it into the equestrian industry as well. We've sold it into the aged care industry. We've had interest from luggage companies. We've had people ringing up asking if it will track their husbands or wives.
I'm sure of that one. That's cheaper than a private detective, isn't it? I mean, much cheaper.
yeah, and a lot more subtle.
Slide it into their glove box. They'll never know, and then you know where they are. God, there's so many.
Let me tell you, Jamie. Too, it's pretty much this little black cylinder. You wouldn't even know what it was. I mean, if you saw it and didn't know what it was, you would have no clue what it was.
I'm scared. This could be right now. There could be one in my car.
That's right. Well, Sebastian,
yeah.
How much does this run? What's it run retail?
Hey, look, it's $199.
Okay.
And that includes everything you need. It comes with, two interchangeable batteries. One of the wonderful things about our design is that it never has to be removed. You just instantly swap over the batteries as they run low. One of the big problems with a lot of the other units is if you have to remove it from the collar, of course, that's when your animal goes missing and all you're tracking is the plug socket on the wall, which we all know where that is. It's on the wall. But the great thing about this device is it does come with everything you need: two straps, the charger, two interchangeable batteries, and a year's worth of data and SMS usage, so that you can enjoy using the thing and keeping an eye on the things you love.
And where can they get it?
At the moment, you can get it on podtrackers.com. But we're over here, as you know, we've just done the Global Pet Expo, and we're hoping to, pop on some retailers onto that website shortly where you'll be able to find them. But, if you want to keep a track on what we're doing, just jump onto podtrackers.com.
Judging by how many retailers were at your booth, I think that's going to happen pretty quickly.
It's looking that way, yeah. It was a bit exciting. I mean, coming across from Australia, we didn't know what to expect. And as you saw, the show was just ram-packed for us the whole time. I mean, there was one point on Friday where, I just finished up, one interview, and there was like three people there from press, and there was somebody videoing what we were doing, and, all the other guys were engaged. I actually just wish I'd come across here with more people and a bigger booth. It's been incredible. The welcome we've had in America is just fantastic. That's why I'm moving here. So it's going to be good.
Well, very good. Well, congratulations, Sebastian. I know you were the one that designed this, right? Invented it.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I was the founder of the business and designed the product itself. And so far we've had a great response to it, which is, very exciting for me.
Good job. Podtrackers.com. Thank you for joining us, Sebastian. We appreciate it, and good luck.
Thanks, Glenn. Anytime. Take care.
All right. See you. Well, that was good. He was a nice guy and had a whole bunch of Australian guys in there. So that could be partly why the booth was so busy.
Yeah. Yeah, you hear that accent. I mean, it's Chris Hemsworth. That's who we were just talking to.
That's right. right. It's Chris Hemsworth. You keep thinking that, okay?
Could you say something about Thor? And I'll give you a line to say.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a break for equestrian collections. And we also have our song. I have Stephanie Quayle, Horse Girl. Actually, we'll be seeing her at Road to the Horse here in a couple of weeks, and her song, Sugar High. So let's take a break. We'll be back. We have Leslie coming up. We have a couple of guests still coming up, but Leslie's going to be here with the Wacky World of Horses. Hi, Glenn, back with you, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the product of the week. And boy, you're getting colorful now.
Yes, well, you know, it's Easter time, coming up to Easter time, and if you like Easter eggs, I have the breeches for you.
That's pretty
the
true.
The Tough Rider neon breeches. They are in a knee patch, the knee patch type of breech, and they come in some way cool colors. They come in peach, they come in slate blue, they come in, get this, lime green, and they come in a very pretty fuchsia kind of pink. They are absolutely something you won't find anywhere these days. People are going to snap these up and love them. Now, you probably aren't going to be riding on the A circuit with them.
No.
But you know what? On trail rides, they're very comfortable.
Eventers will pick these up to match their colors. And let me tell you, I think you're understating it. These are neon. These are bright.
Yes, they are. They do run a little on the small side, so keep that. There is a size chart here, but be aware that they, although they are 8% spandex, they are not quite as stretchy as some. So when you're, be sure that it goes by your waist size. But if you're on the cusp, go a size up instead of a size down with these. But they are just going to be, you're going to love them, absolutely. And, you know, every spring I look for something that kind of reminds me of Easter eggs. Sometimes I do saddle pads or, you know, halters. But this year, these ones are perfect. So happy Easter. Get on www.equestriancollections.com. Just put the word neon in there and go to town.
You're leaning a little bit closer, and there ain't no coming back down. Either the moon's sinking low, or we're floating 100 feet off of the ground. I wish we could lie here forever.
And thank you so much for joining us. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And that song, who sings that, Glenn?
That's Stephanie Quayle. She actually is going to be the musician at Road to the Horse this year.
That was really good. I it snuck up on me. I was actually just sitting there enjoying that one. So Stephanie Quayle, Sugar High. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine today. And I got a little story. You know, I mentioned Seabiscuit earlier in the show. And this is surprising to me because the Seabiscuit won his race 75 years ago. The rider of Seabiscuit and War Admiral, the guy who broke both the horses, did the yearling breaking, just died a month ago at the age of 98. Yeah.
Oh,
98 years old.
He must have been pretty young when he was working with them.
It says he basically hopped off the train at 18. He said. So he passed away on February 11th. He started as a stable boy and made him all the way up to trainer. And at one point, you know, he was the yearling breaker, I guess. And he was 18 when he started working at Aqueduct Racetrack in Queens, New York. He said when he saw Seabiscuit get off the train to come to his place to break him. And he said, Seabiscuit looked like a Mustang coming out of the West, he said. He was interviewed, I guess, after the Seabiscuit book came out. He said, I had to keep after him all the time, but you liked Seabiscuit for his temperament because he was so lackadaisical. He didn't care if tomorrow came or not. And as we watch in the movie, that pretty much sounds like Seabiscuit. How he ate and slept all the time. And then he, in 1935, moved to Glen Riddle Farm in Maryland, where obviously he must have met Man of War, at some point. Man of War was still alive back then, yeah. And he moved to Glen Riddle Farm in Maryland, where he first saw War Admiral, and he says of War Admiral, he goes, you can just see the class in that horse. And he spent the years all the way up to 1954 in the racing industry. He trained several winners. Then he started working for the airlines. He retired in 81, and where'd he go? To Florida. That's where he went. Moved to Florida, and then he was a regular at the Tampa Bay Downs track. And he actually was quoted in the Tampa Bay Times in 2003 saying, I wouldn't say that actually I was that important, but all I know is I broke Seabiscuit and I broke War Admiral, and they went on from there. So basically, Nub said.
You want him as the person to break your racehorse is what it sounded like.
Right?
Wow.
Exactly.
Both of those horses, it's amazing he was still alive.
I know. I can't. 98 years old. Gosh. Charles Schtick, and he was survived by 3 daughters, 6 grandkids, and 10 great-grandchildren. So hopefully at least a couple of those are involved in horses, for crying out loud. That would have been my follow-up question. So how many of those are in horses? Break my heart. They said none. He's probably got some cool memorabilia.
Yeah, I bet he does. I hope he still has the saddles. Probably doesn't, though.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think about those things when you're actually in the moment, do you?
Usually not.
No. Well, there's somebody else, too, that has been doing pretty well and starting the year off right, and she won U.S. Eventing 2014 Leading Lady Rider, and that's Lauren Kiefer. She had that honor for 2014 and started 2015 off right. At Red Hills, it was the first 3-star event for the eventers this year. And, of course, that's down here in Florida. Is it Florida or is that Georgia? Yeah, it's Florida.
It's Florida.
Yeah. And so Red Hills, she went around and did pretty well on her horse called Checkmate. And Checkmate did pretty well. They won the 3-star event, and I think that they'll be looking. I don't know if it said in there whether she was looking at Rolex or not, but you got to think that that's what we're leading up to here. And so congratulations to her on leading the way at Red Hills. Now, I think that somebody else we know was at Red Hills, right?
Yes. Our friend Alisa Wallace, friend of the show, actually finished on Simply Priceless, which is not a Mustang. Alisa Wallace came in 8th. So all these guys have qualified for for Rolex. So Elisa is qualified for Rolex, and she's going there. I'm sure Lauren Kiefer and Checkmate is. That would be a pair to watch. Ginny Branigan and Kambalda, Marilyn Little and Quarterman. These are all horses that you're going to see at Rolex, hopefully. And also, I did find out over the weekend, because at my little jumper show, Barb Crabo had some horses she was schooling. And, you know, my former coach, she was my coach with Jet. She is qualified for Rolex, and she's going. Remember, I just talked about how a couple weeks ago she won Twin Rivers, the advanced, and she's going to Rolex. So she said he's fit and ready, and she's just going to see how it goes. But that's her plan. She said, I just booked my campsite.
Well, and all the eventers now that Red Hills has done, they'll all be making their way up to Southern Pines and up in the Carolinas. They'll have some shows. So they'll do some shows up there, and then they'll all cut across and head to Kentucky for April. So that'll be the schedule for the eventers. The jumpers tend to stay down here a little bit longer. They won't go till after Rolex. They'll start heading to Kentucky and up to New York in the end of April, beginning of May. So that's when they'll all start cutting out.
Like, I'm just going to travel around an event for my life. But how do you get that gig?
Ask Emily. Sorry. She did, our girl Emily, our jumper girl, who does our show once a month, actually had a horse out doing pretty well this weekend, too. One of her horses out doing pretty well. Yeah, so we'll hear about that, I'm sure.
Well, she not only has a Grand Prix show jumper husband, she also has a clothing line and lots of horses in training. So I know how she's able to do it. Because sharks are butter.
Right. Yeah, so, well, and there's also money. They actually win money. See, that's the other thing.
Yeah,
in the jumper world. That's the other thing that happens. Doesn't happen too much in any other of the disciplines. So, yeah, so she, and then there was, I have the bizarre story of the day. This was in India. Now, anytime you see a horse story coming out of India, it's usually bizarre. So they were having this celebration of people into martial arts, and apparently there were thousands of spectators. And in India, they don't necessarily have so much as arenas. It's sort of like everybody gathers around, and they all get in like a big circle, and there's thousands of people, and they're all watching and cheering and stuff in this big field, and that's kind of how they do things. Well, they had these martial arts people in demonstrating their martial arts. Well, part of martial arts dating back centuries is riding, right? It's horses. So they had this guy in, and I can't even say what they call him because it's an Indian name I can't pronounce. But they had this guy in, and they had him demonstrating his martial art of riding and controlling horses. Well, he's kind of a Guy McClane kind of guy in that he sits on one horse, and he has three others that he does patterns with, and, you know, kind of Guy McClane-like, right? He does these freestyle kind of demonstrations. Well, this is what it says. Many people, including a foreign national, were injured when horses of Nihang's display riding skills during the Hola Mola went out of control here yesterday. The incident happened when he was riding four horses. The animals went berserk and jumped into the crowd, leaving many of them injured. That's the whole story. That's all I got, was the animals went berserk, jumped into the crowd, and apparently it wasn't good. I guess any time you have horses jump into the crowd, it's not good.
No.
Yeah, so I've never seen Guy McClane's horses do that. I guess this guy needs to do some more work.
It would sound like it.
Go well. That's my bizarre story of the day. Horses went berserk and jumped into the crowd in India.
That's bizarre. I'm sorry. I was just looking over a story about a guy. It's not even worth talking about. One guy that works for a horse rescue, and all the horses were starving, ran away, and he was hiding in Florida. But he's been wanted in like 12 different states for horse abuse and stealing equipment. Hey, you know what? If you have somebody show up at your place and ask for a job, do a little research. Don't just hire them.
Do a little background check. Just do a little background check. Internet. It's easy.
Google them. You can call somebody they used to work for. Another story that I just read, and I'm trying. People, come on, be smarter. A person was riding a horse down a sidewalk and stepped in a manhole that was open. And police had to rescue the horse from the open manhole.
Oh, that gotta hurt.
Yeah. It didn't work out well for the horse, and hopefully the rider's in jail. Not that they would get arrested for that, but, you know, being dumb is, you're dumb. So don't, you know, guys, use your brain.
Was it out of Texas or was the guy drunk? Because that's usually the case when we get the people riding down the sidewalk.
They did not say where if the person was drunk, but I would imagine if you're riding a horse, and it would look like a very busy road. So if you're riding a horse down a sidewalk and you don't notice that there's an open manhole and your horse doesn't notice, maybe you gave him beer too. I don't know.
Well, we are heading to Road to the Horse, as I mentioned, here in a couple of weeks. And our accommodations are provided by the Clarion Hotel in Lexington, Kentucky. It's where we stay every time we are in Lexington. Hurry and book your hotel accommodations now if you haven't gotten your seat or you haven't gotten your hotel for Road to the Horse. I think there are a few seats left, actually, a few tickets left for Road to the Horse as well. But your rate will include full breakfast every morning, free Wi-Fi, free airport shuttle. They also have a great restaurant called Cortland's Southern Kitchen. They also have a bourbon bar where you can taste all the bourbons of Kentucky. And there's a pizza place there, too. Plus, they have a huge swimming pool. It's more like a swimming complex, I would say. It's really made for the kids. So if you're bringing kids along, that's a perfect place to stay. Yeah, it is really. Oh, you stayed there, actually, at Rolex last year.
I did. I've stayed there every year, and it has a huge indoor pool, and I had taken Lucas, and, you know, keeping him in the stroller all day, he had some energy to burn after cross country, so I took him down to the pool, and I was exhausted, but he was really wired and had a great time in their indoor pool, so it was really fun.
It is cool. And one of the nice things, it's only 10 minutes away from the Kentucky Horse Park, so you won't have to drive on New Circle Road, which is a road everybody tries to avoid. You don't have to take a highway. It really is. You hop on this two-lane road, you go up a couple miles, make a left, and you're at the park. It's that simple
to
get to.
Too.
And it's the back way into the park, so you won't get stuck in traffic either. If you call 859-233-0512, ask for Road to the Horse Group Block to receive the discounted rate. It's 859-233-0512, or visit them at clarionhotellex.com. They also have a Rolex special. If you're planning on going to Rolex, they have, like, one room left, I think, so you'd have to call pretty soon. It's $99, and at Rolex, all the hotels in town raise the rates. So this one, they stayed at $99 for our listeners. You just book, you call that same number and ask for the Rolex experience. It's 859-233-0512. You'll have to call to get that rate. It's the Rolex experience for $99. Tell them you listen to our show. Well, we're going to welcome somebody who I know will be going to Rolex this year because she does every single year. And we're going to bring her on right now. If I can find her theme music, I'd hate to not play her theme music because she loves it so much. There we go, let's see.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
Well, good morning, Leslie Wiley. How are you?
Oh, man. You know, hearing my theme music really is the most majestic way to glide into the soar into the work week on the wings of, I mean, how many people have their own theme music?
I know. Man. Well, how many people have happy theme music? Glenn has theme music for me. That means I've embarrassed myself. So your theme music is actually uplifting and powerful, and congratulations. You've earned it.
Hey, Leslie, have you ever heard Jamie's theme music? Have you ever heard it? Let me play it for you.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to be that girl.
Because apparently, Leslie, I'm that girl several
times. You are
times
that girl.
A week. I am kind of that girl. You're that girl, too. They just don't know.
That's right.
Unbelievable. This is not fair. So, Leslie, I was reading Horse
Before,
Nation.
I didn't tell
what?
Jamie about this, but Leslie, I know also that you missed something years ago that Jamie did that I think would be perfect to post on Horse Nation, and I'd like to play it for you. Would you like to hear it, Leslie?
Absolutely.
Oh, I thought you would.
How's it hanging? So much cleaner. Aren't you glad I washed your wiener? I admit it's kind of creepy that I had to stick my arm up in your pee-pee. It was sticky.
Stop.
It was skunky. It felt icky. It smelled funky. It was crusty. It was cruddy. When you stuck it out, it creaked like it was rusty. After half an hour of toiling and of squirting, baby oiling, you're as fresh there as a daisy. Either this means I love you or else I'm crazy.
One, that is amazing. I can't believe I've missed it up until this point. Two, please tell me that is on the internet somewhere that I can post it.
I will send it to you, Leslie, in an email, so you will have
it
for your very own use. Horse Nation.
Stop.
I think that could start a whole article about sheath cleaning, don't you?
You guys are killing me.
That song really says it all.
I already quit once today, Glenn. Do you want me to quit again? I will quit this job. I will walk away. That is the third time my face has gotten flushed on the show today. Talking about Mike Smith, talking about Chris Hemsworth, and now I'm embarrassed because he just played that wiener song.
Own it. You are that girl.
Again, as always, that girl. Thanks. I'm horribly embarrassed right now. I don't even know what to say. Let's move on. Yeah, you're fired. I quit and you're fired. It's how it goes. Leslie, as I was, I'm going to move on. ReadingHorseNation.com. I saw that common equestrian anxiety dreams have been interpreted. And I have a dream, recurring dream, that I've just arrived at a horse show and my ride time is in 5 minutes. Is that in this article?
Listen, that you are not alone. One of our writers, Biz Sam, put together three common equestrian anxiety dreams, and no kidding, that is one of them. And I have had that dream many times myself. So,
what does it mean? Why am I so stressed out?
She calls it literally the ride time in 5 minutes dream.
That's interesting. I'm not alone. I have that dream all the time, and I'm not even at a horse show. It'd be like a Wednesday, and I'll wake up going, oh, my God, get ready for dressage. So I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Okay.
What does it mean?
So here's her interpretation. So the explanation, you arrive at the show only to hear over the loudspeaker that you're on deck. You're hoping that you can get your horse unloaded and packed up in time. You can forget about your warm-up. Okay, here's her highly scientific interpretation, analysis. You are feeling overwhelmed. It may be time to look into some new time management strategies or assess whether you may be taking on too many responsibilities. Just remember, it's better to do fewer things really well than more things poorly. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
I can see that definitely applying to my own life, for sure.
Well, she did contribute toward making that easier. She quit her job 3 times today. So, I mean, it should be easier then, right?
Step in the right direction.
Lessen the load. Let's see, I've got it open now. The I don't know my test dream or whatever sport you're in. I don't know my course. I haven't really had the I don't know my test dressage test dream, but I have had the, oh, my God, what's my jump course? And you're, like, doing your little warm-up circle, and they blow the whistle, and you're like, where's fence one? So if this is a common dream, what is the interpretation of that?
Right. Biz says, she interprets it as, you are feeling unprepared for some upcoming event. Notice that feeling. While you may, in reality, be unprepared for a challenge in your near future, it is equally likely that you are just lacking in confidence and doubting your own abilities. Regardless of the root of this anxiety, the only way to ease it is to prepare, prepare, and prepare some more.
Sounds about right, you know, even though you may be feeling unprepared, you are unprepared.
Which kind of ties into the first one, right?
Right.
And then the third one that she has listed, I've never had a nightmare about this until what's going to happen tonight, because I never thought of this.
Right.
The horse in the cross ties dream. She says, every so often, I wake up in a cold sweat thinking I've left my horse standing in the cross ties overnight.
I've never had that one.
I've never even heard of that, but now I'm going to freak out every night. I'm like, did I take my lacrosse ties?
I mean, it's all done, did I leave the stove on, right? That's kind of did I leave the stove on, and you drive back to the house to find out you didn't. But you go check
and
it.
I do this sometimes. Like, I'm like, did I lock the tack room? Did I not lock the tack room? Did I close the barn gate?
Like
did I not? You know, did I put myself?
Yeah.
I do have not so much that I've woken up out of a nightmare, you know, thinking in a cold sweat, thinking that, but definitely I have, you know, because you do so much sort of things start getting automatic. So you're like, I can't remember if I, you know, did I turn my horse out? Did I, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a horse that opens gates. Edward, my thoroughbred, will open a gate, and he will even open the back gate of his stall, which we have mare motels, and then he can go to his neighbor's stall, open their gates, walk into their stall, and then open their front gate. So I have to, clip and lock every single fence that may exit the property. Then I have a front gate, because still sometimes he'll figure ways out of it. So I have that dream in the middle of the night. I'll go, did I lock Edward's door? Oh, my God. Did I clip his stall? Did I clip it? And I'll have to get up at 2 in the morning and walk out there and make sure he's not eating grain or something. So what is the interpretation of this dream that we all have in one way or another?
She says, you are clearly forgetting or ignoring something that if not dealt with now will cause you even bigger problems down the road. Are you bottling up your feelings regarding barn drama or attempting to work on collection without establishing rhythm and relaxation first? These are just a couple examples of things that can lead to the horse in the cross ties dream. Deal with issues as they arise and save yourself some trouble in the future. Interesting.
So it doesn't even have to be horse-related. Yeah, you can be ignoring something or forgetting something in your general life. Now, Biz is a listener of ours. Is she also a doctor? Does she have any sort of professional training?
I don't think so. But maybe she has a calling. You know, maybe she just missed her calling. I think she actually is a horse professional. But,
Our listener Ellen just posted on Facebook, heck, I've had that I don't know my course nightmare while I was in the middle of the course. So
waking dream. Oh man.
Oh, I love it. So another article on your page, we're going to get to the organic, would you feed your horse organic? Because we eat organic in our house, and I didn't realize that I could potentially feed my horse organic. You might have just started a monster. But tell me about the idea of order, time, and money. What would you do if you didn't have a horse? Is that kind of what it's based on?
Yeah, definitely. I think this is just a fun little thought experiment. I toy around with it every now and again and eventually come to the same conclusion. If you didn't have horses, what would you do with all that extra time and money you've got laying around? And that's sort of, that was the topic of Morgan's, her comic of the week. She always does a hilarious, clever comic every Wednesday for the idea order, and you just have to check this one out.
What I would like to think I would do with all my time and money if I had no horses, and it shows a picture of a girl diving around in money piles, money flying everywhere. She's leaping into a giant pile of money, and then you scroll down. What I would actually do is just a girl sitting there alone next to the clock while watching a tick. You're exactly right. We all think about what we would do if we didn't have horses. And if we didn't have horses, we'd just wish we had horses.
Yeah.
In my
opinion. It's bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And then finally, would you feed your horse organic? Talk to us about this article.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's one of those things, you know, I think trying to eat organically or locally sourced food is something that's definitely moved way into the mainstream as far as people go. But one thing that I've noticed, and that sort of has started becoming more and more trending in the horse world, is being more conscious of what we're feeding our horses. Like a lot of people are going the low sugar route or the not processed route. Organic is another option. There's a handful of seeds cropping up from organic seed mills. They're all a little different, but I have a dilemma sometimes when I go to the grocery store and they've got, the bag of organic carrots right next to the bag of less expensive regular carrots, and I'm like, how much do I love my horse?
Is it 20 cents more? Do I love my horse 20 cents more?
Yeah, right. So I don't know. It's an interesting trend.
Well, I got to tell you guys, when we were at the Global Pet Expo last week in Orlando, that was the biggest section, the biggest theme throughout the whole thing was going organic. And now this was meant for dogs and cats, but that definitely natural foods. And now you have to be careful because you can call anything natural. Most things are natural.
Yeah.
You have to be really careful about that. And they actually had warning signs. The show had warning signs. This is the natural area, but we do not vouch for any of these people. So,
They
watch the labels, and that's kind of what this is about, too. You have to be really careful about that.
I love going organic, and I Lucas, my son, I feed him as much organic as I possibly can, and my husband and I try to eat it. But what I have a problem with, especially when you start mentioning the horses, is that I live around I'm surrounded by organic farm fields, and this is where they grow the carrots. The organic carrots are grown in my area, and these sons of bitches won't let me ride around their fields. It irritates me. They're like, I'm sorry, you can't ride around our field. It's an organic field. And I'm like, it's a horse. You drive a tractor on top of this field. I can't ride a horse around it. They're like, no, your horse's poop may contain salmonella, which will get into our farm fields and create. I was like, I'll come back and clean it up.
It is their farm, Jamie. It is their farm.
I don't care. I want to ride in these fields. They're so perfect. They have these berms all the way around them where I can do gallop sets, and it pisses me off. And so it kind of makes me mad at organic, even though I only really buy organic. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Plus, you're their target market. Who buys more carrots than horse people? Nobody. Nobody
I
wants
know.
That many carrots. Needs that
I
many
buy
carrots.
Costco bags of organic carrots, people. I would not be offended if other people rode their horses around organic fields. It doesn't matter to me. So I'm kind of irritated. But, I guess, did you have any feedback yet about this? Are people buying organic food for their horses? I can't imagine how expensive that would be.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably the exception rather than the rule still, for sure. But, there's definitely, I've noticed a growing consciousness of that, what you're putting in your horse's body.
That money if you didn't spend it on horses. You would just burn it for fun. Leslie, as always, it's been awesome having you on. It's a pleasure. And you guys check out horsenation.com, and you can probably see Leslie down at Rolex. So if you're making your plans, you can look for her there, stalk her there. But Leslie Wiley from horsenation.com, thanks for joining
us. Don't forget to email me the sheep cleaning song.
I will get that to you today. I will not forget that. I promise, Leslie. You will get that today.
We lost a connection. Hello. Hello. Is anybody there?
See you, Leslie.
Darn it.
Bye.
She's gone.
HorseNation.com. Well, not only do we worry about what we put in our horses, we worry about what we put on them. And coming up next, we have Nan from Thinline. Thinline is a sponsor of our Road to the Horse coverage that we will be doing all this month, and we want to welcome Nan to the show. Hi, Nan.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you so much for checking in with us today, and we're so glad that that you could be part of our coverage for Road to the Horse, of course, a huge event there in Kentucky. But, you know, we've been involved with you guys now for years and years and years, and you just have the top quality products. Tell us, you know, what your products consist of, and do you have anything new that's come out recently?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we love you guys, too, just throwing that in there.
Okay, thank you.
For anybody who doesn't know, our products are primarily made from our proprietary open-cell foam, and our foam is a very thin material that is made to disperse shock and weight without being a bulky item that takes up a lot of room under your saddle. So our foam ranges in thickness from an eighth of an inch to a quarter of an inch, and we have just the basic pads, and we also have any sort of material. We have Western felt pads, cotton pads, sheepskin pads. Of course, all of our English pads come in those options as well, except for the felt. And what our material is supposed to do is not be a compression material. Like a lot of the gel pads and memory foam pads are made to be a compression material, which means that they put it under the saddle and it looks like it makes your saddle fit and it looks like your saddle is going to stay where it should be. And when you get done riding, your saddle still looks like it's in the correct place. But any sort of impact or any time you post or any time your horse takes a step, it's still going to have pressure point in there that's just a little bit of a reduced pressure point because of the gel or the foam. But our material is actually designed to take all of that weight and any of the pressure points and spread it out laterally so that you have a reduced impact on the horse's back. Our material is also endorsed by human spinal surgeons because it helps with that upward impact as well. So it's good for people and it's good for horses.
Well, I got to tell you, there's a couple names of that people listening to this show and the Horse Radio Network will recognize that use your pads. Reese Koffler Stanfield, the dressage rider and also our host of the Dressage Radio Show. We were down there at her farm a couple weeks ago and saw her using the thin line pads. And then also Dr. Wendy Ying, of course, host of the Driving Radio Show, uses thin line pads as well. But you not only do pads, but you also do boots, right?
We do. We do boots and tack. Our tack is fantastic because it's non-slip. I know one of Reese's favorite things to use is our reins. Since our material,
she loves those reins. She was using them the day we were there, yeah.
Yeah, since our material is an open-cell foam, it's not like rubber. They have no break-in period. They're super soft. When they get wet, they're kind of spongy and warm in your hands. They're not slick like a lot of the rubber eventing reins. And it's just really, they're great for people with arthritis. They're great for people with strong pullers. They're great for really anybody. And I know that's Reese's favorite product that we have. They're also antifungal. All of our material has a USDA-approved antifungal agent. So the halters and the boots are, you can use them on multiple horses and not spread anything. And another really cool thing about our proprietary material is that the pores in it are so small it doesn't absorb arena dirt. So all of those boots you put on, you know, you wash the neoprene boots and they still have grit in them and there's grit in the bottom of your washing machine and you still get rubs on your horse, but our boots will wipe completely clean without having any of that grit or residue, and they kind of mold to the horse's leg once the horse warms up, once the boots warm up to the horse's body temperature. So you have a really nice custom fit antifungal boot that's not going to create any rubs or absorb any of that arena grit. So they're great. I actually just sent her, Reese has a horse that's been having a little bit of suspensory issue, I believe, and I sent her a pair of our Cobra boots down there in Florida, and she's been using those on him, and he loves them, so.
Well, I wanted to mention, too, that that Elaine from Thin Line did a leg protection series with us, a four-part series, where if you people get confused about what boots you should use when, because there's so many different types of boots, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, and it is confusing. If you haven't been around a barn that uses a lot of boots or nobody's really taught you that, you don't know what boots to use for what. And what Elaine did is she did a series for us, and that's over on Horse Tip Daily, and it starts at episode 755, and there's four parts to it that you'll find there. If you just go to horsetipdaily.com and search Elaine or Thin Line, you'll find that series, and it was very informative and very well done. Jennifer, you should probably rerun that one at some point. But, because it is a problem that people have, and they just don't remember.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's not just people that are new or people that don't have a trainer or parents. You know, you expect those questions from, oh, my kid rides jumpers, what kind of boots do I need? Or, my kid rides eventers, I want to buy her a pad, what do I get? But, no, people who have horses and have had horses for a long time will call and say, I got these boots and I don't know where they're supposed to go or how to measure them or, you know, did I buy the correct boots? So, yeah, that's a good series, and that's a great thing to rerun. Everybody, you know, not everybody has a trainer that's interactive either. Some people have trainers, and they go and ride, and the trainer doesn't really offer any sort of, you know, buy this boot or buy that boot. Luckily, Reese always tells her kids she'll circle what they need to buy, or, you know, any of her clients, she'll circle pictures in our catalog and send them to us, and that's great, but not everybody has that luxury, so.
And you guys are going to be at Road to the Horse, right?
We are. We will be there, and one of our sponsored riders, James Cooler out of North Carolina, is going to be competing with his wild card horse. So we'll be there on the main concourse next to James Cooler's booth with all of our exciting products, and I'm hoping we'll have one of our new products in time for me to take it. We're doing a Western shimmable half pad now.
Okay,
and I believe it's going to be one of the only ones on the market. I've really been looking, and there's not a good Western half pad. Everything's a big 32-inch or 34-inch square Western pad that's shimmable, but we're actually marketing our new, it's kind of the same shape as our endurance pad, but it's a rounded pad. It'll be great for drop rigging or just anybody that has a shorter backed Western horse that needs to get a shimmed pad in there without having a bunch of bulky sheepskin. So,
shorter back Western horse. We've never heard of those.
Yeah, no such thing as Pasadenos or Arabians.
No,
right?
Such thing in the quarter horse market.
Yeah, right.
Well, no, great. That's terrific.
Yeah, and we're going to roll out our square liner is coming in a shorter length as well this spring. So we're going to have a 28-inch square Western cotton liner, and then we're going to have that Western cotton half pad. So we're very excited about being able to offer some more options for the shorter-backed Western horses.
Very good. And we'll see you there at Road to the Horse coming up here in a couple of weeks. And James Cooler's been on our show before, so we're looking forward to seeing him compete. I wanted to remind everybody that Mary Kitzmiller will have her show coming up this Thursday. It'll be the last show that she does before she goes and competes at Road to the Horse as well. So that's coming up on this Thursday on Horses in the Morning. Thank you so much, Nan. We appreciate you joining us. The website is thinlineglobal.com, right?
Yes, sir, it is. And we also have a Facebook page. If anybody wants to like our Facebook page, sometimes we put ads or coupon codes up on Facebook as well.
Very good. Thanks, Nan.
All right, thanks, guys. You have a great day.
Take care. Thinlineglobal.com. Well, that's it for today. We've run out of time, but tomorrow we will be back. Tomorrow is our Endurance Day with Karen Chatton, always a popular show. Jamie will be back on Wednesday, kind of a normal week this week. And Thursday we have Mary Kitzmiller with us, and then Really Bad Ads will be back to Friday this week. So start looking for those ads. Get them in. We had a really good batch last week, so we're hoping we can do that well this week. Any big plans today, Jamie? I don't know that we have Jamie, actually.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I turned the mic off. No wonder you haven't been talking back to me. No big plans. Chad's already at work, so I've got a sleeping child in the other room, and I'm probably going to play with a Mustang. That's what I do.
Yeah, that's right. Play with a Mustang.
You
I'll
guys?
Come up with a new theme song for perusal on Wednesday.
Hey, question.
I'm going to look hard and see if I can see if he said anything intelligent at all in any of those movies.
Please, he said lots of things intelligent, and it's not just the grunts of him wielding a sword or whatever,
the hammer.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't matter what it is. I didn't even notice the hammer sword. It should have been a spike for all I know.
They did do a lot of shirtless scenes in those movies, I noticed, for some reason. I'm not sure why. But
yeah. Oh, my God. When he comes out, he's, like, wearing the clothes in Thor 1 that belonged to her ex-husband, and he comes out without the shirt on. You get to hear the women in the theater. Yes.
How many times have you seen that movie, Jamie, or that scene?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. I've only seen it once. I just
saw
it in passing. I mean, it's no secret. We're very honest about this. Anyway, I didn't even ask you guys. You have a dog and you have a cat, and you were at this animal expo. How many things did you either buy or steal for your pets at the Global Pet Expo?
We did get
three bags full.
Yeah, three bags full.
Honest,
the poor cat
man,
didn't get anything,
full.
But we got tons of stuff for the dog. We had to hide it because we were afraid that she would break into it. We did get a few treats for the dog along the way. We're going to talk about some of them because some of them are brand new and we want to see if they actually work. There's some training aids and things like that too. So we'll let you know. We'll let you know how
did
they work.
Did you get anything to keep a puppy and a toddler happy and leave me alone?
for like 5 minutes? Did you have anything like that? Nothing?
They had a lot of training things for puppies. They had some tranquilizer type products for puppies. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking, remember I told you earlier in the show about that thing you put on your wall and you control it through your app on your phone? That your puppy can run up and they can actually see you in the little screen and you see your puppy. Instead of putting treats in there, put tranquilizers. So if your puppy's carrying on during the day, you can just go pop and then he goes right to sleep and everybody's happy. What do you think?
That'd make my marriage better because he is like, someday she's going to be a good dog. Apparently the cable wire that attaches our DirecTV comes out of the wall at the bottom on the backyard, and it goes up the wall and travels up to the roof. She chewed that through.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we have no TV, no cable in our bedroom right now, and he is fit to be tied. So I need something to keep him out.
Well, I got to tell you, you actually helped us out because of you and your puppy and the experiences that you've shared with everybody, I did not take home one of the Japanese chins that we were holding in that picture on our Facebook page that we're
seeing. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
So cute.
Yeah.
Cute little
this is my last puppy.
About a pound. They only weighed about a pound. They were cute.
I will forever adopt grown shelter dogs. I mean, that's all I've done in the past. And then I got these puppies. I've had a rash of puppies, and I can't take it anymore. Last puppy ever is in my house right now. The rest will all be grown old dogs that need homes.
That's why we do greyhounds. They come to you already adult.
Yeah.
greyhounds. I have never actually, I don't think, ever seen a greyhound puppy in person. I've just never seen the adults. They must have greyhound puppies, but I've never seen them.
Yeah.
All right, let's call it a day. I'm ready to go.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right, everybody.
Stay neuter and
gel. Happy Monday. Stay neuter and gel. Well done.
I got to find the closing music here. Hold on. I also have to make a note. Well, let me do that. To send Sheath's song to Leslie.
No, gotta go. Where is the closing music?
Thank you, because I can't find it. Producing. Oh, there it is. You're pretty good. That's pretty good.
Thank
all right,
you.
I gotta go send an email. You can keep your eye on Horse Nation for a new blog post very shortly.
No.
Glad you were here.